Here we are in this series. Man, I'm having an exciting time studying the Word of God, preparing for you. So today is called, How Do I Prepare for the End Times? Because I believe Jesus said we're living in the last days, we're living in the end times, and we know we're closer to His coming than we've ever been. We know we're closer to our meeting Him because we're either going to go or get caught up. I tell you what, personally, I want to do that rapture thing, get caught up. I just think that'd be, how many want to get caught up? Yeah. And how many of you have been in the house and it got real quiet and, you know, there were some people in the house and they're not in the house and you think you got left? Did that ever happen to anybody? I remember as a kid, I didn't know what the rapture was, but I heard about it. And yeah, man, that's a little scary. Okay. Well, there's a verse that I've got right there for you, right across the top of your teaching guide today. Titus 2:13. I want you to see this. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just underline, we wait with anticipation and with joy for what? The blessed hope of Christ, that He'll come again, that He'll appear, that He'll be back. Okay, here, let's set it up this way. You women know so much more than us guys. We just got to participate in having a family, and we got to take you to the hospital, and hopefully we were there, and y'all had those labor pains. And at first, they kind of started, you know, they weren't, you know, weren't real sharp, y'all said. And then you have that thing called Braxton Hicks, and, you know, but then you get in the hospital, and, you know, and then pains start kind of picking up with frequency, and you women tell me with intensity, and every woman said, yeah, and then y'all become these strange phenomena on Earth. Like, man, y'all have superpowers, you have super strength. You don't recite your Sunday school lesson then. You're just, man, you're in pain, agony, man. It's picking up, it's intensifying. Well, you know, the times are intensifying. How many believe the times are intensifying in the last days? The world has gone crazy, crazy, crazy. It's lost. It's lawlessness that the scripture talks about. It's a time of limited morality. The love for mankind has decreased. Killings have increased. Look what's happened in recent years with all our shootings in universities and school, elementary schools, and on and on. And we just see the peril of the day, and so they pick up and. And then I was reading this thing about the population explosion. You know, for the longest, you know, it's like there was like 200 million people. And then in 1650, it doubled to 400 million. And in 1850, it went to 1 billion. In the 20th century, it went to 6 billion. And it just continues to escalate on up. And so we have a lot of people on planet Earth. Also means we have a lot of hunger. We have a lot of starvation. It's amazing how many people will go to bed tonight without a meal. Even here in the wonderful, blessed United States of America, we know that. And we're so grateful for Pat and his team that minister to the homeless in our community. Hey, our life expectancy, I saw this. It said in 1900, the life expectancy for us then was like 47 years of age. By the year 2000, it had elevated to 77, and everybody said, amen. Yeah, because you're sitting here, some of us. Or you're almost 77, or you want to be 77. And so there's been this exponential curve that has gone up. And what do you think the reason is we've had longer lifespans? Not a trick question. Why do you think we have longer lifespans than we had years ago?
Technology,
medicine, scans, taking care of yourself. You know, hey, let me tell you what I've learned. I'm 65 now. And Buck, you saw me on the picture, not whatever. And I love this. And man, I like what we're doing now. Now at 65 with Medicare and my Blue Advantage, they don't just take all my money. I go there and they go, sir, we're going to send, if you fill out this, we're going to send you a Walmart card. I go, hallelujah. Wish I turned 65 earlier. And they get nicer. And they also say, man, your fees are going to be less. I'm like, wow. But here's what I've also learned. If you're under 65, get you a physician. Because a lot of doctors don't want to take you after you get on Medicare. They go, oh, we don't get paid as much. Anyway, I don't know how many people will. Anyway, let's just keep going. All right. So we and here's a weaponry. Ballistic missiles has increased. On and on and on. This is interesting. One nuclear sub now has more power than we basically fought World War II with. the power of what we've done in technology, and yet you've got all these new threats all over the world, all these countries, and even these wannabe countries almost, they even have nuclear threats, and we have armament, and I'm not trying to scare you. But here's what I want you to know. The fastest growing religion on planet Earth is what? Islam. Even since 9/11, it is just rising, rising, rising. And all, not all Muslims are as extreme as some, but there are many that they hate two groups of people. I mean, they hate them, they want to kill them, they want to destroy them, and then they think Allah, they want to kill them and think Allah will destroy them. Guess who the two groups of people are? The Jews and Christians. Guess what you fall in? Jews and Christians. We've had born-again Jews in our church. I don't think we have a born-again Jew in our congregation anymore, but we've had those. So it's amazing. And then the Muslims in the Quran, in their holy book, I don't even want to use the word holy, it's not. Basically, that book was written over a 23-year period at Mount Moriah. And it says they want to seek out their enemies. And they want to destroy, they want to annihilate, they want to kill. They almost think they're little gods. And they love it when they destroy Christians. It's a badge of honor. That's not the Sermon on the Mount, folks. That's not the teachings of Jesus. And yet we live in that. And so you got this whole, I don't even want to get into all the things we're going into the world today, how people are turning against the Jewish people. It's just, they need to read their Bible. Here, I got to tell you about this. In the last days, there will be a great famine. 60 million kids, I read, died of hunger last year. 60 million. Starvation of the world. If you look right down Revelation chapter 6, 5 and 6, listen to this. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine. And it gets worse and worse, and you think about the famine in the last days, and you even wonder, will famine come to our country of the USA? Already is in parts. Do y'all know they've already severely, Donna just told me this, do y'all know they've already cut back, was it 30% on fertilizer production? That's how we grow our crops, folks. You might say, Pastor, you're a little bit of a conspiracy. No, I'm a realist, okay? I'm telling you, there is a worldwide order that wants to take over America, that wants to take over. If you don't think so, just look at our country and what's happening in the part of the way. It's just scary, scary, scary. But we don't have to be scared because we have hope. We have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that he takes care of his bride, the church. And we look to him, we embrace him. And I'm a pre-trib, I tell you that all the time, there's three positions, pre, mid, and post. You'd be a pre-tribulation, mid, post, and you still go to church here, okay? Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, I don't want to be a pre-trib. But that's fine. I think I can prove to you biblically why I am a pre-trib. And you say, well, I'm going to prove to you why I'm mid. And about 3.5 years into the tribulation, Jesus is going to take us out of here. And the rest of you say, no, I'm just going to endure the whole thing. Glory be to God. Well, that's great. But at the end of the day, We want to trust him. Here's what I want more than anything. I want to know that you know that you know that you know that you've trusted in the blood of Christ. And you have allowed Christ to put his blood, his atonement has been made for you. You have received him personally. And that by you've been saved by grace through faith alone. And the church said,
amen.
That's how we're going to make it through whatever comes. We're going to endure in the strength of the Almighty God. And I'm grateful for that. So I know today you're like, Pastor, what were you thinking? You gave us these notes, you gave us some blanks, and you even gave us a little insert. Because I just wanted to make sure, I don't want you to go to the grocery store and say, wait a minute, let me pull it out. I got to figure out where we are in the chart. Pastor said, you can do that. But I want you to study this, know it, learn it. I think it's important for the church, okay? So let's look at five signs of the end times. Number one, there'll be great spiritual deception. I talked a lot the other day about deception in the last days. And right before that, here it's we're going to go through Matthew 24 for one section. But in Matthew 23, Jesus is really just kind of preached his last sermon there. And then he pulls his disciples into him privately, and he begins to teach them and talk to them, because they think, now Jesus, you're the Messiah, you've come, but they think Jesus is come to save them from Roman rule, Roman domination. Jesus came to save us from what? Our sin, from ourselves, from us destroying ourselves. And so they thought, well, Jesus, you know, you've come to save from Roman rule, and, you know, we don't understand this rising from the dead. So in Matthew 23, he delivers this sermon, okay? And so let's just look at it. I got to do it justice. Like Matthew 23. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. For they don't practice. You know what? I want 24. I don't want to read all 23. Sorry about that. That was Matthew 23. That was a good reading, wasn't it? But I'm in the wrong. I was sitting there like, wait a minute, this is not what I want to talk about. I'm just talking about, he's setting it up. Matthew 24. As Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. Okay, now, this temple here at this time, what I understand, when you look at it, it was like four-story high. Most of them, they had little small places they lived. So it was magnificent. It was this edifice that they were enamored with. They were taken back with it. Jesus, look what Jesus does. But he responds. They say, do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth. They will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. You know what Jesus tells me there? He don't give a potato chip about those buildings. He cares about the souls of men and women and boys and girls. He cares about us. And he wasn't taken back by their buildings. And so they're like, well, Jesus, we want to have an explanation. We want you to give us the sign of the end times. And he's saying, look, here's what I see in Scripture. Ready or not, here I come. You remember when you were playing that? Hide and go seek, and you have to yell. You have to count to 100. Okay, let's be honest. Let's have confession in the church. How many cheated when you played that game? Yeah, I did too. Like, man, I'm out counting to 100. All right. And then I would, but I had always had a big mouth. And don't say amen. And I'd go, ready or not, here I come. And that meant, man, I do that with my grandkids now. Pop, pop. You count too fast. Pop, you like, well, look, our house is only so big. You know, you've hidden that place 32 times. I know where to find you. Pop, how'd you find me so quick? Okay. I just have powers. Okay, all right. So here it is. So ready or not, here he comes. You know what I say? Ready or not, here he comes. Find me, Lord Jesus. Find me faithful to you. Find me enduring to the end. So these white glowing buildings, four stories high, Jesus said they're going to be destroyed, they're going to be thrown down. And we know they were. This temple was thrown down in 70 AD. It was just destroyed, completely burned. And you say, well, how do you burn marble or stone buildings? What I know about the temple, it had some wood and it had gold inlay. And when they would burn with these fires, they would reach such a great temperature that the gold would begin to melt that was inlaid in there, and then they would take it as their plunder. And then they would take stones and they would begin to dislodge them, and they would throw them away. If you go to Israel today, I should have gotten some pictures of this, you can see stones in Israel in this section where it's just a bunch of rubble. And Jesus said, hey, I'm going to destroy this. But you can't destroy his building, can you? You can't destroy King Jesus. Satan has tried. He will continue to try to come against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's no competition. He's no match. So he says, I'm going to hold back here. But he's still holding back. And then I look at this. So there's this domination there. And then in 1948, y'all know your history. What happened in 1948? Israel became a nation. And you know, from all that scattered and all the craziness and all the wars and everything, it became a state, it became a nation. And so this rebirth, if you will, and they begin to reform the nation of Israel. But then there's this splitting of East and West Jerusalem, which proposes a problem. And then there was this Jordanian control. And then in 1967, there was a prime minister that came in, and she took control of a section which we now find the Dome on the Rock. You ever heard of the Dome on the Rock? Look at pictures of Israel, see that dome? And that's controlled by who? By Muslims. Yeah, and it's there today. And so I like where Jesus, let's go back to text 24. So, stone, not one stone to be left on top of another. Verse 3. Later Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, and his disciples came to him privately and said, well, tell us then when all this will happen. What sign will signal your return? The end of the world. And Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming what? That I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. And so as I was doing research in this, I found this quite interesting. Matter of fact, let me tell you one more thing before I do that. The temple being destroyed, you go, oh man, Pastor, temple's been destroyed. I know about Nehemiah rebuilding walls around Jerusalem. You're right, that's biblical history. But it's something that I never had seen until I did study on this past week. The animal sacrifice in the old temple, animal sacrifice was predominant. You had to sacrifice animal to make atonement, propitiation for what? For sin. But when the temple got destroyed and it didn't get rebuilt, there was no reason for it to be rebuilt, because when I taught y'all Hebrews, Jesus said, I died once and for all. There's no, isn't that cool? There's no more need for animal sacrifice. How many of you went out and made an animal sacrifice in the freezing cold before you came this morning? No. Lenora's granddaughter might have gone and fed her horse in the freezing cold. She might not have. She might have sent grandmama. I don't know. But nobody in this room went and made sacrifice. And you went, praise God. Can y'all imagine us having a temple in here and we got to have drains in the temple for all the blood to run down through the drain? You're like, Pastor, that sounds kind of gory. It was gory. Read about Calvary. Calvary was very gory, friends. God's Son, Jesus Christ, gave his life as a ransom for all, for you and me, that we could be covered forever. Let's just take an offering. That's what we all do right there. All right, so here it is. Here's what I know. Jesus is the only sacrifice you and I will ever need. If anybody tries to say, well, you need Jesus plus baptism, you need Jesus plus church membership, you need Jesus plus you need to go be nice to Pat for a week and work with him, you need to do that anyway. But that ain't going to get you into heaven. It's going to be the blood of Christ. So here, back to the outline. Here, number one, spiritual deception. Deception was great in that day. Listen to what Matthew 24, 4 and 5 says. Jesus answered, watch out. I've been telling you, watch. Be warned that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. Do y'all believe there's religious charlatans and hucksters and pretenders in the last days?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You want to name any? No, you don't have to. But we all probably can name some. And you can turn on TV or you can listen to radio or whatever and you get on the internet and you can see all this. And I'm just going ahead and tell you one. I know I'm fixing to upset somebody, but that's okay. I think she's a good person. I think she's done a lot of good. But she is so spiritually misguided, misdirected. I do not believe that she walks with the Jesus of her grandmama, Oprah. And on, I can just start going through people that have followed these modern day. And so I kept listening to this. And in our lifetime, there have been this study I did said 36 people have claimed to be the Messiah. Let me tell you something that y'all have heard of in your lifetime. Did you ever hear of a guy named Sung Young Moon? The Moonies? He thought he was Jesus. Have you ever heard of a guy named David Koresh? Yeah. I remember, Don, Don became a Christian before I did. I became a Christian 46 years ago tomorrow. Don became a Christian in high school. But there was a guy that was real popular. Mel White did a film, wrote a book by him. His name was Jim Jones. He thought he was Christ. I found out about another guy named Sergey from Russia. He thinks he's Christ. Read about another guy. His name was A.J. Miller from Australia. He thought he was the Messiah. There will be false prophets and teachers in the last days. Amen? And you're like, oh, man, Pastor, that's weird. Right, look at this. Like a move quickly. International conflict will be on the rise. Listen to Matthew 24, 6 and 7. If you don't believe me, I just want you to turn over to Matthew 24. That's where we find ourselves. Listen to the scripture. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation. Kingdom will what? Against kingdom. And there'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. Is that happened? Oh my goodness. Wars and rumors. I read the 851 conflicts in 70 countries today that we know of. There's probably more skirmishes that we don't even know about. So here's what I'd write this out. Conflicts have risen to an unprecedented scale. And I'll be honest with you right now, as an American, I'm looking at our country, I just feel like, oh my goodness, it's crazy now. I think it's going to get crazier. I'm just telling you, I think things are going to get harder. I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom. I want to be a prophet of the Scripture. I want you to have an understanding of the Word. I'm not taught this like I should have. So now I'm trying to teach more prophetically. I'm always going to teach the Word of God. Anything I say, I want you to take it to the Word of God. And everybody said, amen. And go, Pastor, I don't see that. Then go to the Word. Read the Word. That'll be your plumb line. That's what Amos says. Here, let me give you the next one. Third, natural disasters. Oh, my goodness. Matthew 24:7. Nation rises against nation, kingdom, earthquakes, famines. All right, plagues, pandemics, outbreaks, smallpox, botulism, Ebola. I hate to even say this next one. COVID-19, on and on and on. All those things have broken out. Mutations, cancer, who knows what is to come. But these things, I read that 20,000 earthquakes happened in the world last year. 20,000. And 16 were on a major scale of over a 6.0 on the Richter scale. Anybody ever been in an earthquake? Yeah. How'd it feel?
Not good.
No. A lot of shaking going on. In Turkey, yeah. You remember the big one in San Francisco years ago when the ball game was going on? I had friends that were there. Man, they thought, man, this. And then I have a bunch of California friends, and they like, man, they kind of deal with earthquakes like we deal with tornadoes and hurricanes. And used to, everybody go, I never live in California. I got to tell you what, they always go, I ain't never living in Alabama. Man, y'all are Tornado Alley. How many feel like you live in Tornado Alley now? Yeah. You know what you got to do? You got to trust God wherever you are. Doesn't matter. I mean, you know. All right, so God uses all through scriptures here. You talk about these wars. There was World War I and II and on and all these conflicts. And there's just always going to be a war. There's not going to be peace until Christ finally settles it. I look forward to the day of peace, don't you? Amen. But I want to be a person of peace. I want you to be a person of peace, that you walk in the peace of Christ. That the peace of Christ guards your heart, and the peace of Christ guards your what? Your mind. When the peace of Christ guards your mind, what happens? You're at rest. Fear has to leave. I think depression is on an all-time increase. I talk to people every week that are struggling with depression. Many of them on medication. Many probably need to be on medication. Many are on the wrong medication. At the end of the day, they need Jesus. But it didn't mean that you got Jesus, you don't have, you still deal with depression, because it's a real thing. It's on the rise. And we want to pray for our friends. If they tell you that, let's listen and let's say, hey, can I just take, I want to pray for you. You're my friend. I care about you. Daniel 12:4, people are going to be looking for knowledge. But you, Daniel, wrote and sealed the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Do y'all think knowledge will increase in the last days? Knowledge is so fast now, I can't keep up. On your internet, on your computer, on your phone, are y'all overwhelmed like I am about how much information is coming? Like, you know, forever, for 100 years, about years ago, nothing changed. You know, Pa and Ma doing the same thing, the same meal. You know, there ain't nothing going on. And now it's like it changes every nanosecond. It just is fast. I mean, when you go to the dentist, I remember the first time I went to a dentist, and I mean, going to the dentist all my life, but I remember I went to this new dentist, and this is gross, but I remember asking, I said, where's that spit thing? The platoon. He goes, we don't have those. We decided there's a lot of bacteria in that, and we've done away with that one. Oh, okay. And you know, and now you go sit in the dental chair, and all this technology, and they swing X-rays around your head. I mean, you know, Robin, that's what you do. I mean, it's just amazing how technology in that field's changed. And then you go to all the other things and scan. How many of you had body scans? Go get your body scan. Don and I, we do these heart scans, and first of all, they want to say, I got one. They said, I got one. And then, I thought that was funny. Anyway.
And then they're checking, seeing all the pressure and if things are constricted or, you know, I've had friends that have gone and they've gone straight from there to the hospital and had heart surgery because they've detected that they have a problem. So, you know, we're grateful for technology. Look at the fourth one. Here it is. Persecution of Christians. Oh my. Listen to what 24:9 says. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all the nations because of me. It is a blessing to be hated and persecuted for the name of Jesus' sake. You're saying, Pastor, that's not very fun. You talk to the voice of the martyrs. You talk to the people. There's, you see, we are so protected, we have been. I think that's being loosened up, church. We've lived in this bubble for so long. We go, oh, that's in another world. That's across the ocean. It's coming to America, folks. It's in America. There are people that hate us. I mean, right now, did you know 40 million acres have been purchased by foreign nations all over America?
And we can't grow our food.
So we got a mess. Mass persecution of believers. Butcher, burn churches down. Violent religion of Islam, where they hate Christians and Jews, betray, hate one another. I know you go, Pastor, I like it when you give those feel-good messages. I preach it all the counsel of God, but I feel like you need to hear this under my watch. I don't want you to go, man, Pastor never ever talked about that, man, that stuff. Somebody go, Pastor, I'm going to have a nightmare. Well, let me tell you, grab your Bible, get up, read your Bible, pray, put up some worship music. Jesus will carry you through this. And the church said, Jesus is my living hope. Church, I'm doing what nobody's done for me in all the years that I've been in the church. I'm just really, you know, trying to be obedient. All right, Pastor, I like this. Look at the fifth one. Widespread apostasy. Apostates are on the increase. 24:10-12, listen. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. They'll betray, they'll hate each other. Many false prophets will appear, and they will what? Circle it in your Bible. They will deceive many. They will distort the truth. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Have we not seen that today, that the love, the agape love, so many times has grown stale and cold, much less the love for our mankind, the love. See, when you love humanity, you want what's best for them. You care about them. You believe in them. I can even tell people when I tell them we believe in the homeless in our church and we give to that and we support that cause. And I have two reactions. They ask, what can I do? Pat, I have people, I hope you get calls all the time. I'm probably the reason you get so many calls. They go, who can I talk to? And I go, there's program, there's mock, but more than that, there's an advocate for Jesus in the middle of that. And they want to know. So I have two responses. People go, I want to know more about that. Or they go, I don't care. I mean, there's only two responses. It's kind of like, I want your Jesus. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Well, you guess what? You don't have to have anything to do with Jesus. He'll never force himself on you. But you will bow your knee and you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody will.
That's right.
But it'll be too late. So we want to love him now and praise him. And just want to love all these songs that Linda and Pat lead us in. I see how the anointing of God just falls on this place and we worship the risen King. He's our hope.
Right.
Honestly, I hope the rapture happens in a worship service. I think that'd be cool. I would just love to just go up and be caught up with King Jesus in the middle of a service. And I know Linda be going, wait, I got to finish. She wouldn't be saying that. I got to finish the song. As much as we love Linda, we'd go, we don't care. There's Jesus. That's who I've been fixing my eyes on. Isn't that right, Ken? Ken would go, I just want to drive back to Greenville one more time. No, you wouldn't. Ken told me, he says, Pastor, I think you got it, but I'd rather Jesus just come when I'm driving before I get up here, and I'd just be right, and all of a sudden my truck just... I don't think he raptures trucks. I think he raptures the people inside trucks. Maybe I've watched too many of those movies. Okay, all right, here we go. He didn't redeem trucks and cars. Yeah, okay.
Only a Chevy.
Okay, we could probably split the church over this one. So here it is, being promoted. There'll be more betrayal in the last days. There'll be increased deception. There'll be increased wickedness. That's where people shun the law of God. Have you ever seen more people want to shun the law of the Father, the commandments, the precepts of Scripture? I think about things I've been teaching the last 42 years as a pastor, and now it's like the Scripture's becoming even more real than it ever has. I'm seeing more of it being fulfilled in my lifetime.
decrease love. But let me give you good.
Let me tell you one thing that's great that's happening. You're like, well, by time you give me something good, isn't it? Let me tell you, this is great. Write this one down. This is happening in the last days. The spread of the gospel globally is increasing throughout the earth. The name of Jesus is being proclaimed like never before. And as much as I jump on technology, I have a love, hate for technology. I'm schizophrenic. So are you. But I love technology because guess what? It allows us to proclaim the name of Christ at unprecedented proportions, and of how the gospel is being translated so quickly into other languages, and more people hearing about the name and the riches and the gospel of grace, and people are coming to faith. But at the same time, the enemy is not asleep, and Islam is on the rise, and it is outpacing Christianity. You know why? Because I think Christians aren't doing their job. We're not sharing the good news of Christ, the hope of glory. And we will answer for that one day. So here, let me give you top five countries who persecute Christians. You're saying, Pastor, man, you're giving us a lot of material. I know somebody like, where am I going to write this? You got plenty of space. Then if not, come up and see Susan. She'll give you a sheet of paper. All right, here it is. Top five countries. Who's the top country that persecutes Christians? North Korea. Number two, Afghanistan. Three, Somalia. Four, Libya. Oh, here you go. North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan. 245 million on the last thing I read from Open Doors says that's the persecution of those countries. And here's a sad thing. I think America's going to be getting in there, folks. You're going to see more. Are Christians not? I can't even turn on the news and I'm not seeing Christians being made fun of and abused and persecuted and kicked out of school because they believe in one, they believe in two genders, male and female. Hallelujah. I mean, you're like, Pastor, you kind of hung up on that. Well, I am, because Jesus is hung up on it. All right, I got to get here. All right, I got to give you the prophecy chart. Are you ready? Here it is. Turn it over, the Revelation prophecy chart. You've lived your whole life for this. And here I am. I'll probably have to come back. I'm going to come back next week if the Lord tarries, okay? All right, here it is. Number one, the church age. You know when the church age is? Right now. You're sitting in the church age of this dispensation of grace that we live in, the time from Pentecost until the time of the rapture is called the church age. The beginning of the church, Pentecost, until the rapture, we're sitting in the church age. And the church said, amen, that's a good time to live. And the Lord is slow to come back, I think for one reason only. That many might repent and come to faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Are y'all like me? I pray for many that still haven't come to Christ, and I ask the Lord, Lord, would you save them, would you redeem them before they die? Because there is a place called hell, and there's a place called heaven, and you only have two choices, and I don't want them to be lost in the abyss for all eternity. And so, all right, the second one, the rapture of the church, there it is. So just write it in there, the rapture of the church. I pray you've got fire in your belly, that you're ready, you're warned, you're watching, here it is. In the Greek, the word, you don't ever see the word rapture in there, unless you have a Latin Bible, and they use the word rapture. In the Greek, the word would be propizio, and it basically means snatched up, snatched away, caught up. We shall be caught up with him in the clouds when Jesus comes. And I love that. And we're taken away. It's great, the great event. There's some raptures in the Bible, in the Old Testament. I'll give you two. One was Elijah. Was he not? Was he not taken? And another one, I love this. I'm a big walker, as y'all know. And I've told Donna this before. If I'm walking one morning and I don't come back, I might have gotten caught up. Man, that's never happened. I keep coming back, you know. But can you imagine just taking a little walk? And I mean, can you imagine when they all got home and said, where's Enoch? Well, I saw him over yonder, and he was walking, and man, he just kind of took off. You know, that's what's going to happen in a rapture. We're just going to be caught up with Christ. Is that not the great hope of the church, of the living Christ? To be caught up with the Lord in the air, and all the believers come with him, and we're united, like, hallelujah. I think it's going to be incredible. I mean, what an event, man. Sony can't touch this, okay? John, let me tell you, Jesus even talked about the rapture I was listening to Jack Hibbs, and I never thought about this, and I've preached this so many times, and I preach it at Resurrection Celebration of Life services. I've been, I did it at Johnny's. I did it at Terry's. I've done it, did it at Mike's. I'm going to quit calling a row. Okay, whenever I do a service, I always want to go to John. But I want you to write down John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. And listen to this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Some translations say abode. And if that were not so, would I have not told you? But I am going there to prepare a place for you. I just stopped right there. Did you know Jesus is a contractor? Ken, did you know Jesus is a contractor? Okay. And if I go and prepare a place for you, look at the next line. I will come back and take you to be with me, and that you also may be where I am. Is that not the hope of Jesus? That he will come back to get us. He won't leave us alone. He won't forsake us. Man, what a Christ. What a Savior. And Revelation 3:10, just write it down. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. I think the hour of trial could be the tribulation. I'm a pre-trib. I believe we get out of here. I believe Jesus comes back. It's going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. Okay? So he keeps us from the hour that comes on the earth. Because we, Philippians, in my Bible, your Bible, Philippians says we are citizens of heaven. I know somebody wanted to go, I'm a citizen of Slap Out. No, man, I don't care about Slap Out. I'm a citizen of Pipe Road. I'm a citizen of Tuskegee. Well, that's wonderful. You want to be a citizen of the Most High God of heaven. Yeah, so he comes for his own. Man, do y'all not feel the hope in my voice? That I want you to attach yourself to this Christ and him alone, the true Messiah, the Son of God. 1 Thessalonians, I guess I'm going to have to stop. Man, see, I could go for another hour and a half. And the good thing is, I think y'all would still be here. But we're going to come back next week. All right, so let me just read you this great verse. This is the verses I've always loved. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. And the dead of Christ will what? Rise first. After that, we who still are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. See, at this coming, the second coming, Christ will come on a white horse and he'll come and touch the earth. In this coming, Christ never comes fully back to the earth. He comes in the clouds. He appears and we get caught up with him. Guys, I can't even do it. I can't even have words. I cannot articulate. And I know I got a lot of words. And I can, I got to end the word. I got to keep that. But here's the thing. But Jesus, he catches us up. And guys, I can keep going. Hey, do this. Save that insert because I didn't get there. And we got the other. And we're just going to keep walking through this. How many of you enjoying this series? Enjoying your Bibles? Looking at them, reading them, studying them. Study this on your own. Man, this is going to be great. And then Pat and Linda are going to answer all your questions when I get through with the series. I'm going to go on vacation, okay? You're like, man, I don't know. I'm going to give you the best that I can learn and study and read. Man, I got this new Bible back last year sometime. And every week, I'm just marking new lines in this Bible. And I'm getting so excited. It's something about a new Bible because you hadn't marked it all up. You got all your favorite notes. I'm just kind of going through it. Let me give you permission. Mark your Bible up. Write a keyword if Jesus gives you a keyword or gives you encouragement or hope. It might be something you need to share with a friend. They're going through a trial, a tribulation, a situation. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, it is so good to be in the house of the Lord, full of truth and love and grace. And Lord, we want to be lovers of the truth, and we want to love your appearing, your coming for us again. Lord, help us to never be fearful, but to trust you and to look to you alone, Lord Jesus, that we might be caught up in a mid-air gathering, that an entire generation of believers that will never experience death, may we be that generation, Lord, that you come, that we go from mortal to immortal in Christ. You are our living hope, Jesus. Help us to trust only in you for salvation and to live for you and to embrace you. Help us to follow you, Jesus, all the days of our life that we might be found in Christ alone. In Jesus' name, amen.